Today is August 14th, and some of you have heard this many times on the air already. And speaking of Michael McCusker, we are thrilled to have you back on the air and new material. Thanks, Kate, for getting it on the air. So today, August 14th, is the 80th anniversary of Social Security, something many of us appreciate and hope that it continues, and it's not enough to hope. We need to speak up for it. It's also the end, VJ Day, basically, for World War II. And last week, we celebrated the 50th anniversary of the Voting Rights Act, something else we need to speak up for because it's slipping away. So I've got a song for you, a little bit about Social Security. Have fun. And thanks for being here, folks.
The Social Security law was passed on August 14th, 1935. But it was 5 years before the fund was built up enough to begin paying pension checks. The very first Social Security pension check was paid out on January 11th, 1940. And it went to one Ida Mae Fuller. Now, don't you think that deserves a song? Ida Mae, she got a pension check today. She did a little jig, yelled, whoopee, God bless Social Security. The mailman put that check in her hand, she's the first one in the land. $22 every month, Ida Mae, don't spend it all at once. Ida Mae, she got a pension check today. She did a little jig, yelled, whoopee, God bless Social Security. She wasn't famous, didn't have good looks, but she got into the history books. They put her name down cause she was number one, started something still going on. And since that day in 1940, checks been rolling, lordy, lordy. In the footsteps of Ida Mae, millions get their checks today. Like Ida Mae, they're yelling, whoopee, God bless Social Security. Ida Mae, she got a pension check today. She did a little jig, yelled, whoopee, God bless Social Security. God bless Social Security. I need my Social Security. Gotta have my Social Security. God bless Social Security. Gotta have that Social Security.
Social Security, 80 years old today. That's pretty impressive. But let's keep it going for all of the others who have paid into Social Security and deserve to get it back out again. I won't read you the incredible email that I got. It was just delightful and told it like it is. So if you're interested, you can give me a call after the show and I'll share it with you. Well, right now, I've got a very special guest here with me, and I had met her in the past, but I hadn't seen her for quite a while, and I was delighted to see that she has returned to our area. Some of you may remember Miss Lorraine Penny. That's right. Welcome.
Well, thank you very kindly, darling.
I am so glad you're here. Speaking of Social Security, sounds like you might be...
I'm certainly a contender.
You are. Yes, you are. Well, where you been all these years?
Oh, my goodness. I just have to give you the upchuck because the entire story would take weeks. But
the upchuck?
Yeah, the upchuck.
Okay.
That's the essential business.
Okay. Well, how long ago was it? I can't even remember when you were
here last in this area. Time. Yeah. Well, first let me say, if you don't mind, Carol, first I have to say, I have some friends listening all around the world for my friends on the Twitter and the Facebook, and they all be listening in. So I just wanted to say, you can't see me right now, but I'm waving at you, and I appreciate all your friendships all these many years.
Well, I'm impressed, though. Are you on Facebook
and
Twitter?
The lady I live with, she does all the typing for me.
Oh, okay. You are a woman of your time, or at least your friends are. So
well,
that's...
let me explain to you, if I might, just how it happened, and for those of you don't understand the backstory, as they say, I'll just do a life in brief.
Mm-hmm.
I was born sometime around the turn of the century. Can't remember exactly when, and of course I started adding on to appear more mature, and then later on I started to subtract to appear a little younger. Now, unfortunately, I've confused myself. And I figure I'm either very old or I'm in horrible shape. Anyway, I was kind of a I lived on the skirt of society, on the hem. And I just traveled around, I don't mind admitting it anymore, since we're living in the age of recovery. But I was an alcoholic, and I did pretty foolish business, and had a propensity for falling in love with men who didn't like me at all.
Mm.
So my life was just kind of hit and miss until the 1980s, when I met the lady I live with. And she had a little show, and so I joined up, and we started touring, and we went to New York City, and then suddenly, as if by magic, I became a minor celebrity.
Wow.
And I had a comeback, 'cause it was from nowhere, but you gotta start someplace. And I ended up opening for Ray Charles, Dr. Billy Taylor, Taj Mahal. I played the top of the gate to the bottom line.
Now, what did you do?
I had my own show. And in fact, I won awards for it. It was one of the longest running cabaret shows in New York in the 80s. So we all came back to this side, the specific left coast, as I like to call it, and the lady I live with started a little theater, and then I was the headliner there for during the 90s, and then I had a little stroke. So we decided to go down south where it was supposed to be better for me. And I was pretty miserable and upset, as you could well imagine. Mm-hmm. But the lady I live with, she put me on the internet so I could pull out of myself. And I must say this. Before I was on computer, I felt sorry for myself. But now I feel sorry for everybody else. And so it really activated my compassion. And I have become what I call a kindness advocate.
What's that?
That means I believe that Homo sapiens are a failed experiment, and it is time to reorder the genome and evolve. And I believe we need more humane beings in this world so that it will be a better world for our children.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you kindly.
Yeah, absolutely. So how do you go about... But practicing your kindness doctrine?
Well, just firstly, I think that you try to make things feel better wherever you are. And this means from the most simplest thing, you know, you see somebody, you compliment them. Try to make them feel good that moment, you know. If you can, do what I call the invisible contribution, which means you pick up that little bit of garbage and toss it away because you can.
Mm-hmm.
And because you just prefer to try to make things a little nicer for the person walking behind you, you know? I think things, they don't need to be expensive. They don't need to be time-consuming. They should be integrated into the natural process of the life.
I like it. I like it, Miss Lorraine. Now, when you were doing your cabaret act, Were you singing or telling stories?
Oh, yes, yes. I'm a singer-songwriter.
Okay.
Yes. My songs, I consider poetry to melody.
Huh.
I think I'm a poet that just sings my poetry.
Mm-hmm. And is there somewhere that folks are going to be able to hear you?
Well, the reason I'm here this day and my performance partner is not here, unfortunately, we'll tell you about that in a minute. I'm going to be at the Seaside Convention Center next Saturday for the Helping Hands Reentry Outreach Program Dinner Theater. This is a fundraiser for the Helping Hands Reentry Program. And I'm going to be performing with Mr. Peter Unanda, I was very fortunate enough that you suggested them to.
Mm-hmm.
And he is one of the most wonderful musicians, pianists, composers I've worked with in many years. Mm. We have the immediate simpatico.
Wonderful, wonderful. Now, the music you will be singing and Peter Unander will be playing on piano.
It's my original tunes, has arranged on piano, and one particular song on guitar.
Ha-ha, nice.
Yes, yes, yes.
Nice. And this is, you said, Saturday the 22nd. That's a week from tomorrow evening.
That's right.
At the Seaside Convention Center.
That's right.
What time are you going to be performing?
Well, there's dinner first. Doors open, I believe, at 4:30 or something,
okay.
And then the dinner starts at like 5, and then I think once everybody's got tucked into their dessert, you know, I come on as the post-paratif.
I love it. Wow, that's going to be fantastic. And so you mentioned Helping Hands. Are they located, is the organization located in Seaside, or...?
That's where it begun. Alan Evans and a friend of his were both people that were experiencing much the same as I did in the early time of my life, disenfranchisement and substance abusing and not having any self-confidence in herself and probably being angry because that is part of the parcel.
Mm.
But he had a revelation, began to turn his life around, and he created the program, which started off with just him and his friend trying to talk to a few other fellows of the same situation, and has now blossomed into one of the most wonderful programs in this state. And
ooh,
it covers now 4 counties, Clatsop, Yamhill, Lincoln, and Tillamook. And they are a reentry program, which means they have beds for homeless folks, and they also have programs. They help people find jobs if that's the case. They work with the disabled, seniors, with families. They work with folks that have diagnoses, which makes them difficult and need to have special help, domestic violence situations,
oh, wow,
women. Mm-hmm. And this is... It's just so stunning what they've been able to do that when he asked me would I come and help him, I told him I would just do anything because I was just so proud of him.
Wow, that's fantastic. So Helping Hands Reentry, and their website?
I don't know that.
Okay, let me take a look here and see if I... Okay, I think it's helpinghandsreentry.org. So it's a nonprofit organization. It sounds like they're doing wonderful work. And it also sounds like they've got terrific taste because they asked you to come in and... perform for them. What I heard was the name of the evening is Angels Among Us.
That's right.
Wow. Is that from one of your songs?
No, what he wanted to make the theme of the show, and so I designed the show and picked the tunes commensurate with this theme resurrection, rehabilitation, the fact that we all of us at some point in our life needs assistance from something else and somebody else to help us over difficult time. And that is what the Helping Hands is all about. And so I use it myself as a sort of test case. We discuss, being a person feeling on the outside of everything and then, finding success and losing and then refinding the self after illness. You just don't know what someone's bringing to the party.
Mm-hmm.
We all have history.
And making community seems to be the best way to move things forward.
I really believe that in times of emergency or whatever, you need to have your community all working for the betterment of everyone.
Mm-hmm.
That means bringing in those folks that have been marginalized and disenfranchised. So if we are able to make them feel like they are committed and part of the community, then when the community is in trouble, they will feel that commitment and that solidarity, and they'll be there for us all as we will be for them. That is what we need to do, is to look forward in the future to the things that are changing in our world and how we can best involve all citizens in this process.
Amen again. Now, Miss Lorraine,
I'm
sitting here with Miss Lorraine Penny, and her pianist, her accompanist, is Peter Unander, well known to the Clatsop County audience. Why, Peter played at my 50th birthday party.
Aww.
That was a long time ago, but he's very dear to us. Now, do you think that some of the evening is going to be laughter?
Oh, darling, you haven't forgotten me that far.
No, I haven't. But
I have to say that chuckles are a big part of the program, undoubtedly. I have a wry sense of humor.
Yes.
And then I would also like to add audience participation, which was always my signature and is something I love. And so I encourage you to clap, slap, or whack and sing when you're supposed to.
Well, folks, I can guarantee you will love Miss Lorraine Penny. And you might even be a little surprised when you meet her because she's just a fabulous human being. And so again, Miss Lorraine Penny and Peter Unander are performing in Angels Among Us Dinner Theater. And this is Saturday, a week from tomorrow night. And that's 5 to 7:30 p.m. with dinner and a performance. It's at the Seaside Convention Center. And you can check out helpinghandsreentry.org or call 503-738-4321. And I am thrilled and delighted that you are back here with us, Miss Lorraine.
Well,
thank
you're
you
just
so
a sweetie
much.
Heart. Well, and I thank you for letting me come on here and speak to everybody. Hi, everybody.
All right. And Peter, you get on home here
Peter,
in good
shape.
Yeah,
Peter, you get on home safely.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks again.
Thank you, darling.
All righty. Folks, you never know what we have for you here in Clatsop County. Join us. This is going to be a fabulous performance. And something else fabulous that's coming up tonight. Starts tonight and it goes tonight and all day tomorrow and then tomorrow evening as well. It's a double music festival returning to the Long Beach Peninsula, and it involves the well-known and well-loved Jazz and Oysters, which is celebrating its 30th anniversary. And it was started by two Coast Community Radio, then only KMUN, programmers as a benefit for Water Music Festival. So that is tomorrow from noon until 5 at Wilson Field. That's on Sandridge Road in Ocean Park. Tonight is Seafood and Blues, which is a newer festival that got inspired by Jazz and Oysters. Last week, if you were listening, you heard from Diana Thompson and Bruce Peterson talking about these festivals. So tonight and tomorrow evening at from 5 until 10 at the Port of Ilwaco, more fabulous music. Now, here's the deal. You can go to one of three concerts, or if you're really smart, you're going to take advantage of this whole weekend. There's a combo ticket, and it's a good deal. And tonight is Papa Rocket, North Coast Blues, Randy Oxford Band with Lady A, who's terrific, an all-star jam, and Trombone Fest. Yes, there's a Bone Fest going on. And then for the tomorrow afternoon for Jazz and Oysters, they are having the Mel Brown Quintet and Dan Balmer and Gino Michaels and Soul City. And then tomorrow evening, get right on, that's over in Wilson Field, get right on back to Port of Ilwaco for the Strange Tones, the Ken DeRucci Band, and Texas Bluesman Hamilton Loomis. Now, I happen to have a very special treat for you folks. The first person who calls in is going to receive one ticket for the entire two-day festival. And the rest of you, please come out, support your local organizations that bring us the arts. The number here, 503-325-0010. Let's hear a little bit from the Mel Brown B3 Organ Group, which includes Dan Balmer on guitar. Thanks for being here, folks. Coast Community Radio. Thank you. Well, folks, you are listening to the fabulous Mel Brown B3 Organ Group, which Mel Brown's going to be right here in at the Jazz and Oysters, along with Dan Balmer, who is part of this band. And last week, the phone rang off the hook, so that ticket, maybe folks didn't hear me, but I have this amazing value ticket. If you can go tonight and tomorrow evening, give us a call. It starts 5 o'clock tonight till about 10, and then noon to 5 tomorrow for Mel Brown and Dan Balmer, and then again tomorrow evening. 503-325-0010. This is a very handsome gift to whoever is able to pick it up. Thanks. And now I have something entirely different. And I don't have their music, so they're going to tell us all about... Whoops. Somebody might have just won that ticket. Those three tickets, I should say. So, with me is Jerry Ethan. Hi, Jerry.
Hi, Carol.
I'm so glad to finally meet you.
Thank you.
We've been writing back and forth for quite a bit. And Jerry is an organist and pianist. Oh, no wonder you knew Mel Brown, because this is the organ.
That's right.
Yes, of course. I saw your eyes
Well known in Portland.
Yeah. I saw your eyes light up, and of course, you know, it's great music and all, but then I remembered, but I believe here you're going to be doing Piano. Okay.
But I may do one piece on the pump organ that they have in the Easterville Church, yeah.
Okay. And with Jerry is Barbara Walden.
That's right.
Who
Hi.
Is a flute player.
Yes, I am.
Okay. And that would be the silver flute, right?
That's what we'll be playing this weekend, yes, although I can play some others, too.
Ah, see, I suspected as much. Okay. And by the way, folks, we do have a winner. Congratulations, Tim, a good supporter of Coast Community Radio. It's always nice to have a member be listening and call in. Enjoy the festival. Well, Jerry and Barbara are going to be playing music that's a little different from what we just heard, eh?
Yeah, pretty different.
But it is, you're calling it Song Without Words, and this is at the Oysterville Community Church, which is a very special place. Have you played there before?
Only to sit and practice a little bit.
Okay.
So I've not done any performances there. This
okay.
is my first. Our first for both of us.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it is one of the sweetest spaces, just from the outside and then inside as well. I can't remember how old it is, but it's been there forever.
Really,
Sydney
darling.
Stevens tells us about it when she comes in. Well, this is part of the Summer Vespers program, and each week there is someone else coming in. Is it weekly or monthly?
Weekly during the summer, summer.
The focus is really on the music.
Right.
So why don't you tell us what you're going to be playing and how this works for you? How did you even end up coming here? Because you're from Portland, is that right?
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I have a friend that lives on, and two friends actually, that live on the peninsula. And when I visited last year, my friend Maggie invited me to go up to see Oysterville, which I had seen in my college years, but not had been back for, I must say, a couple decades. So she got permission for me to play the pump organ and piano from Sydney.
Right.
And so I did it, and Maggie said, oh, you would be just perfect for a little Vespers during the summer. So I said, I'd love to do that. And Barbara and I had met just maybe a year and a half or two ago,
mm-hmm.
and we've started making music together and enjoying each other's skills,
mm-hmm.
And performed actually most of this particular group of songs without words at an event in Portland that occurred the last Sunday in June called Make Music PDX,
uh-huh.
that we participated in. So we decided to choose a theme that was developed by a variety of composers, and we are going to be starting with a German take on that, Franz Schubert, two selections that he has from his collection called Winterreisen. And then we're going to move to...
We have a modern
Ned Roram,
piece, yeah. Ned Roram, a 20th century composer.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
who's really an interesting fellow, and his music is... Singers know his music, but other people don't, and I hope some people will come to know and enjoy Ned Roram, because he doesn't ever do what you expect him to do. And so have a song by him called Mountain Song.
But from the title, Songs Without Words, I'm assuming or presuming that this is
all
instrumental. It's music.
It's all instrumental, and we came to this theme almost by accident. Jerry and I were playing together and enjoying the fact that we were really copacetic. and I was bringing her music, flute music, that I had loved to play but could never find anybody who played the piano well enough to play it with me, and I'd finally found her. I was so happy.
Wow, lovely.
And as I was bringing her my favorites, we realized that a lot of what we were playing together was actually music that had started out as song but was arranged for flute and piano.
So that's
where the Songs Without Words came from. So we have Schubert songs and Debussy songs, a song by Mussorgsky, a song by Ned Roram, all originally actually for singers, but arranged for flute and piano, which has been so much fun, because you have to imagine the words.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have the words, and so you have to imagine what those words would be.
Now, you'll be telling folks, though, I don't know if there's an actual program, but you'll tell them. So I'm curious about the Mussorgsky piece. Mm-hmm. Who wants to tell me what it is and who brought it? Was that one of yours, Barbara?
That was one of mine.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we wanted to have a little variety, and I, in addition to the regular concert flute, I play alto flute and bass flute and some other things. And I had this song that was arranged actually for alto flute, and it was called Hebrew Song by Mussorgsky, arranged by a very well-known flutist, Irv Monroe, who was one of my college colleagues, who was principal flute in the Detroit Symphony. And is called Hebrew Song, which is very interesting because Mussorgsky was not Jewish.
Correct.
But he was in that romantic period where people were very influenced by what they thought of as Hebrew music. And Mussorgsky was part of a group of composers, and at the same time that he was writing this song, Rimsky-Korsakov was writing another Hebrew song. We know Mussorgsky because he wrote Pictures at an Exhibition and Night on Bald Mountain, but we don't really realize that he wrote
an awful lot of
beautiful, beautiful art songs. And we don't hear them very much in this country because they're in Russian, and so they don't get sung a lot.
So now you can do it because nobody has to know Russian for this one.
No, you just make the pictures in your head of how you want to imagine these words.
And we did find out that there is a libretto who was Jewish, right? May. And the actual songs to the Hebrew song that she will be playing a flute are words from the Song of Solomon in the Bible, which is a very sensuous set
song
of words.
Songs. Well, this, so from the way you're talking, it sounds to me as though you're not a hobby flute player, that you've done some studying. Do you have, either of you have professional background in music?
You know, that's a very interesting question.
I don't know either of these people. Disclaimer.
I'm often asked that question.
This is Barbara talking.
I've never actually been a professional flutist, although I did study music at the conservatory and continued to play. And I did play in a little band for a while, and I would make maybe $200 a year or something like that. But I always paid the bills with something else. But I never stopped playing the flute, even while I was raising children. And
so when you say the conservatory, you mean when you were like college age?
Yeah, college age.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's also a few years ago.
Quite right.
And Jerry, what about your musical background?
Well, music has been a constant in my life, and my father started teaching me at age 4. I studied piano until I went to high school, and then I transitioned to organ. And I studied, this is always on the side, I studied about 20 years off and on with various organ teachers, and became a church organist in my youth, and continued on, and have maintained doing church music, and currently do 3 services a weekend at 2 different Catholic churches.
Wow.
So I have done over 2,000 weddings.
Woo!
And probably as many funerals, as many funerals
in my life.
Well,
that's a good balance. So in 1 minute, are you ready for this? Here's your challenge, each of you, 1 minute. And if you say that's ridiculous, why? Why music? Why did it stay with you? Especially, Barbara, since you made $200 a year, it obviously wasn't the money.
Music has always been the thing I do for my soul. That's why I do music. And like Jerry, I fell in love with the flute at a young age, and it's always been the thing that's been closest to me. I do it for love. I do it for my soul.
Beautiful.
There's so many different, this is Jerry speaking, there's so many different expressions of music. You know, we started with talking about Mel Brown and his wonderful contributions to music in Portland. On the organ, I am also an organist, and I, you know, and a pianist, and I do many, many different things from Mel Brown, but hopefully adds wonderful, thoughtful opportunities for people to think about different methods or different ways to approach things and different emotions.
Well, I'm thinking if you're playing a church, it's among other things that people do in worship is some meditation.
Of course.
And music, of course. You said it for your soul, so the two of them come together in that. So wonderful. Okay, folks, now I do not have the time. What time are you doing this?
It's 3 o'clock.
3 p.m.
The Oysterville Community Church.
Yes.
On Sunday.
Sunday the 16th. That's this coming Sunday.
And it won't last longer than an hour.
Okay, now listen. Go a little early in case you get lost. all you have to do is just go straight up Sandridge, which is the way I do it. And you get to a place, though, where it says Oysterville, and then you turn off to the right. But if you don't worry about it. You get back there. Yeah, there's not much up there. You'll find it.
You'll find an oyster bed eventually.
Yes. That's great. Okay. Thank you so much. This sounds beautiful. This is part of the Summer Vespers program at the Oysterville Community Church. It's been going on for several years, and thank you to all those who make it happen, and, of course, our friend Sydney, who does a lot of that kind of stuff up there. Jerry Ethan on piano and maybe a little organ, and Barbara Walden on flute. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you very much. This was fun.
And now coming back to, as we were saying, yet another kind of music. If you were lucky, you were listening to Albert's show this morning and heard Justin Farron on the on the show. He did several songs. He's quite wonderful. And you can catch his act tonight at the Voodoo Room. He said 8 o'clock, but I don't think he realized about the movie theater. So those of us here know most shows start at about 9, but you can check in Voodoo Room on the corner of 11th and Marine Drive. And then tomorrow he is part of the Electric Fences Festival in Nehalem. That's Justin Farron. Let's have a listen. Thanks for being here, folks. And I have one more fabulous guest coming up.
If you carry with you everything you really need, you will be lighter in the long run and aware of all your seams. You will be comfortable with silence in the moments that call softly for attention. And if you take a minute to identify the string that binds your body to your brain, into the land, into the bees, to your neighbors, then to strangers, then the image in the mirror that you wish to see, you would be friendlier on the freeway. You would let them in traffic. You would hope they got home safely. Reserve your horn for emergencies. After my last show, I walked you out to your car, and we got talking how the world should not be scary in the dark, and all the weirdos that you meet should be your friends, and you should all go out for sushi, and they'd chip in for the gas. No one here should want to steal your wallet or your car, but if they do, I'd hope their absence helps define just what they are. A nifty place to keep some plastic cards, a magic chair that burns the bones of dinosaurs, propelling you at chosen speeds to any place you want to be. And everyone should plant a garden, and every morning watch it grow. They should teach a class in high school and call it all the stuff they'll probably try and tell you that they know. My friend said that out of school he'd made a business plan to buy a plane and fly rich businessmen out to the wilderness and drop them off with just a canteen and a compass and a picture of their family. Tell them any way you choose to walk, you'll soon enough be home. And when you get there, they'll be waiting, porch light on, a kettle rolling. They will listen to your story, every word, before you tuck them in the bed. Most of them would ask for refunds and say that they had been misled. The brochure claimed an ancient recipe. Pick them off by way of listening. I tried to substitute the cat to no avail. She's just as selfish as me. And if I had
get a little bit of extra there if you listen in carefully. That was Justin Farron, and he was, as I mentioned, on KMUN's Friday Folk Show, that Coast Community Radio's Friday Folk with Albert this morning. And Albert commented, and I agree, that his voice is even richer and more exciting when he was singing in person. But my guest says, yeah, well, that's the way it is, isn't it? And we both...
more enigmatic.
There you go. No, absolutely. Well, that is the voice. Speaking of voices, although he's not singing. I don't know. Do you sing, David?
No, not at all. Not even a little.
Got a nice radio voice, though.
Oh, thanks.
David Coyne is my guest, and he's an artist and illustrator. And this, for the last month, is it? And you've got another couple of months to go?
Month and a half, and I have another month and a half.
So you're right in the middle of a three-month artist in residency, basically, with the Astoria Visual Arts. They did one AIR, and it worked out well, so they put the word out for a second one. And this time, they've got two artists, and David is one of them. I haven't seen the work of the other artist. Do you remember her name? Oh, boy.
Oh, my gosh. I met her. She's a very lovely person. I'm drawing a blank.
And I'm...
I just told you I have that problem with remembering names.
Right. Yeah. That's right. We did, both of us. but I did get to see David's work during the studio tour, and I was very excited by it. And, yes, when I looked at the detail, I was like, whoa, what is this? And that's when he told me his story. What's your background in the arts?
In the arts. So pretty typical story that I grew up always drawing as a little kid.
Excuse me. Pretty typical, A. Watch it. Some of us don't know how to draw. Go
All
on.
Right,
I'm sorry.
Enough.
I couldn't.
No, I always grew up drawing as a kid, and continued that love of artwork into school, and I went to the Los Angeles County High School for the Arts.
Oh,
down in Southern California. So that was a great environment. From ninth grade on, it was regular high school classes until lunchtime, and then after lunch, we had a different studio class every day of the week. So I got to try a whole bunch of different disciplines, and it was great experience.
So wait, when you say different disciplines, you mean other kinds of art?
We had ceramics and printmaking and oil painting and figure drawing and fashion design and everything. There was a lot, wide variety. Photography.
Right.
Yeah.
It
was on the Cal State LA campus, so we got to use all their art facilities. Oh, it was really, really great.
Yeah. Now, I wasn't even aware that this existed. I mean, people have seen people have seen Fame and things like that, the performing arts schools. Yeah. How does it, what did you do that your parents said, this kid, he's worth sending to a special school? So, and did you have to audition, or how do you get in even?
Yeah, and it's not strictly visual art. There's the visual art department, and there was also performing arts and music. And so there's theater department, dancing, all the rest.
Mm-hmm.
And, I had to apply and submit a portfolio, but it was still a free, essentially public high school that you don't have to pay for. You just have to
show that
make sure
you're
make sure
worth
that you
the
can,
investment.
You can go and
And were you, you're a regular kid? You said regular background, right?
Well,
junior
high.
What happened in your brain that said, oh, look, there's this special high school, and I want to go there. Why?
My sister actually also went to the school. She doesn't paint and draw so much anymore, but she also kind of had an affinity for artwork. And
did your parents? Were they artists?
Not so much. My dad is a woodworker, but he's much more scientific-minded. He's an engineer.
Wait a second, but we're getting somewhere here.
Yeah.
I mentioned the details. You'll hear this in a minute. Go on,
Oh, that's true.
My
parents thought it would help out to get to college and for their career and get a resume and applications to places.
Were you well-behaved when you were in middle school?
Oh, more or less.
Good. Yeah. I was just curious whether this isn't a place where you dump kids who are making trouble.
Right.
Okay. Okay,
well,
so... I'm sure there was
with the exceptions. Yeah.
All these artists it's in still high school. Yeah. Exactly. A bunch of teenage artists. Yeah. It's a double whammy. Mm-hmm. So, and you knew that drawing was what you wanted to do.
Yeah. Drawing, painting. I get too impatient and fidgety with different art, different mediums. So I like to kind of jump around and I love graphite and pen and ink and gouache and oil paint and acrylic. And I also do a lot of sculpture. I can't stick to one thing for too long.
Well, you could have fooled me because the work that I saw is so detailed that it looks to me as though you have to sit there for hours and hours and hours to get all the detail.
Yeah, it's definitely tedious mark making.
Mark making, that's right. That was the term you used. I like that.
Thanks.
I like that.
Yeah. I do like really simple, nice graphic design, but there's something about the visual saturation of intensely detailed artwork that draws me to that.
Visual saturation, yeah. Mm. Yeah, I would say that's what I was feeling. I couldn't have put it in words. But so my last guests were talking about music, and neither of them made a living with music. So what are you doing?
So full-time employment is brewer at Fort George, right across the street at the brewing company. And so another in my eyes, artistic outlet. Yeah.
But you didn't grow up wanting to be a brewer because nobody ever heard of craft brews when...
There weren't too many barrel-aged stouts I was drinking when I was 6 years old. So instead, I would draw Spider-Man.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Did you, what about your illustration work?
As far as keeping a roof over my head? Not so much. Definitely doing a lot of freelance here and there, mostly for friends and local companies, to where it's more of, I guess it's more of like a gift for them, like, rather than trying to pay income. And it selling some prints here and there and some paintings does get a little extra spending cash, but some beer money. But
Wait, you're working at the beer place. You don't need
them. That's true.
So do you feel that having a residency helps you in some way? Or does it give you some time to...
It's my first experience with having a dedicated art studio. Before that, it was always the living room of my house or sitting on my bed watching TV doing artwork. And this is the first time that I've had a place where I can go and work and have no refrigerator or TV or bed or anything to distract me. So it's but yeah, you mentioned music. I did bring my turntable and a bunch of records in there. So
I love it.
Yeah, make records, it a little comfortable.
There he is, back in records. Do you have to come up with a final project or anything like that for this?
No, the only requirement was I opened it up to let people come in, which you were able to do, and kind of show people what I'm working on and what I like to make.
How often do you go to the studio?
Try to go 3 to 4 times a week. Jessica Schleif, another, she also has a studio down the hall, saying it's good to just kind of plan time for yourself to go there. If something happens, awesome. If it doesn't, at least you were there and tried.
That's an interesting kind of a discipline.
Yeah.
Like sitting down to write or something. So, you think it's a good thing?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I'd like to have, after this residency is over, I'd like to get a studio in the future.
You'll have to take time off from your beer, though. I don't know. Hard choices.
Very time-consuming, yeah.
David Coyne is my guest. He's an artist and illustrator, and he is one of the two winners of the Astoria Visual Arts, the AVA AIR, Artist in Residence. And you can go to the Astoria Visual Arts website and find out, because it's more than likely that they will be doing this again, and you might have an opportunity. Now, you said keeping it open. Was that just for the studio tour, or can people come by and see your work at other times?
If people wanted to contact me, I would be up to...
How would they do that?
You can go to my website, which is David Coyne, COYNE, art.com, and there's an area over there to contact me, and it sends me an email.
Okay.
And we can arrange a time.
Yeah.
And I think hopefully next month during the Saturday Art Walk, I'll have it open.
Oh, good.
Come back.
Good. Yeah. I'm thinking also that this is a good inspiration if you are an artist, of course, or if you have young people in your life who may like to doodle or may need something that kind of allows them to focus, that it might be good to come and meet David. He's not very old. I have no idea how old he is. He's old enough to drink beer. That's all I can tell. But
over 21, under 95.
There you go. That tells you what it is. And he was very welcoming. And I think you'll enjoy his work. Congratulations.
Thanks.
And thank you so much for coming in.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Okay. I'm going to let David go. And let's see. I was going to put on some more music. This is Dan Bommer in the background while I tell you what else is going on. Again, this is the festival weekend with the Seafood and Blues starting tonight, 5 o'clock at the Port of Ilwaco, and then again tomorrow evening at 5, and Jazz and Oysters from noon to 5, and Dan Bommer, Mel Brown are playing at Jazz and Oysters, and Blues and Seafood has a huge slate of performers. Also tonight, the Bay City Arts Center is featuring Helen Hill's original play, Evening Gloves, and it's a benefit for Helping Hands, of which we spoke earlier with Miss Lorraine Penny. That's Friday and Saturday, Soup and Bread at 6, and show at 7, and Sunday there's just the show at 3. Justin Farron at the Voodoo Room. Art Accelerated. I had a guest on a couple of weeks ago. It's a pop-up show from 5 to 8 is the opening tonight. And the address is 2016 3rd Street in Tillamook. There's also going to be a closing party on the 22nd of August. And they're going to be benefiting some of the local nonprofits. The Coaster is featuring It Could Be Any One of Us. I saw it last week. It's great. And I had no idea who was going to do it, and I will say no more. That's Friday and Sunday at 7:30. Saturday is Little Shop of Horror, and so is Wednesday. Astor Street Opry Company, Friday, Saturday, and Thursday at 7. This week, Sunday at 2 for Shanghai and Astoria. The Hoffman is featuring Open Stage from 7 to 8:30. Teen Art Show from 4 to 6 at Barbie Maritime Center is the show. They've been in process all week. And Tapa has a whodunit, All the Better to Kill You With, at the Barn Playhouse Friday and Saturday and Sunday. Shakespeare in the Park at Nehalem Bay State Park at 7. Tomorrow, Bluegrass and Barbecue at Nehalem Bay Winery. Northwest Artist Guild has a new space, 711 Pacific Avenue at the Picture Attic. And Wes Menke is going to be doing his thing, demo from 10 to 2. Lunacy Gardens in Nehalem has the Electric Fences Musical Fest. Shelburne Inn is featuring Mel Brown tomorrow evening. Art and Mindfulness 1 to 4 with Amy Selena Reynolds Robleski at the Center for Contemplative Arts in Manzanita. Peninsula Clay Artists, tomorrow's the last day from 10 to 5, so catch them. 25902 Vernon Avenue in Ocean Park. Warrenton Library, 1 to 3. This is all tomorrow. At 1 o'clock. Three authors in Hammond. And Hi-Hi has an art opening at 7. Gotta go now, folks. The Adrift is featuring the Shook Twins and Bart Budwig on Sunday. And the Pacific Farmers Market, Audio Tattoo, Southwester, Travis Champ, Justin Fallen, and Long River. And, of course, Jerry and Barbara at the Oysterville Church at 3. Manzanita Primary Clinic, Tico Marimba, Fort George Res Electrics, Fort Clatsop, Gary Moulton, and ASOC Auditions. That's all Sunday, Monday, NCRD Theater Camp. And Coaster is auditioning Once Upon a Mattress from 6 to 9. Gotta go. And thanks for being here.